But today I want to talk to you about light, Jesus, the light of the world. And it may be unusual this time of the year. We think about Jesus and the light of the world and some of the verses I talk about today. We usually think about that around Christmas time. We think about Isaiah 9. We'll talk about that in a minute and some other verses that come up when we think about the light of the world. But I've spent about the past 30 years thinking about what light is and talking about light and teaching others about light. And so it's a great phenomenon. It can be very simplistic to understand, but very complex when you get down to studying what light is, how it behaves, the subatomic particles that are included in light, quarks, rotational of quarks, up quarks, down quarks. I don't pretend to know all that kind of stuff. I've gone through these poster sessions and lectures, and these guys will talk about conceptual things like quantum wires. So I'm reading the stuff that they're presenting, and I'm thinking, like, that makes no sense at all. And so there'll be about two or three paragraphs about something like that, and then there'll be an equation. Okay. There'll be another two or three paragraphs, another equation, and I'm thinking, like, oh, this is all theoretical stuff. The guy's just making stuff up. So, but anyway, so that's sort of been my encounter with that. And I spent most of my career teaching at TSDC and working in there and have a background in lasers and studying about light. And so I want to talk a little bit about the things that just off the top of head I think about when I think about light and what light is. Light is a packet of electromagnetic energy, and we can observe it in two forms. We can look at it as a wave or we can look at it as a particle. So we've been understanding light and approaching it that way for over 100 years. Light travels at 300 million meters per second. That's a little faster than your internet, but not much faster. But light travels at that speed. In general relativity, when we talk about light, we understand it as the fastest entity that we can think about. Light can be dispersed with a prism. I don't know if you remember in grade school, if you can take a prism or something, you would take it out in the schoolyard, and you could see the different colors come out in a prism when you're trying to break up the color of lights in the sun. Light can be controlled with lenses and mirrors, sometimes smoke and mirrors. Light exhibits at least four qualities when it encounters the surface. So if I have a light beam, it usually does four things when it comes in contact with any type of surface. It's going to hit that surface, it's going to scatter through that surface, it's going to transmit through that surface, it's going to be absorbed, and then it's going to be reflected. So those are some things we know about light. If I look at the stained glass window, that phenomenon has happened with every one of these pieces of stained glass. So it scatters, reflects, absorbs, and transmits. Light can be created chemically, electrically, mechanically. Light is an electromagnetic component. Michael Faraday, who was a great Christian and pretty much a self-taught scientist, was well-respected by his peers. He's the one who discovered and sort of put those components together, that it was electrical and magnetic, and it couldn't be separated. So knowing that, we have the ability to control light with electromagnetic or electro-optic-type devices. The orientation of light can be controlled by polarizers. If you know what polarized sunglasses are, you know how that affects when you're looking through your windshield and that type of thing. Light slows down when it encounters an object that's denser than air or denser than a vacuum. It takes about 7 minutes for light to travel from the sun to the earth. So when God said, let there be light, I guess there was a 7 minute wait for that first ray of light to get to the earth. And within a billionth of a second, within a nanosecond, light travels 11 inches. If I could go over there and turn the light switch on and off, you can see how far it traveled. It would travel 11 inches in that time. So these are the things I think about, and I don't know why anybody would spend time thinking about that, but it's sort of an occupational hazard. Also, as a professional, as a hobby, as I've done photography for many, many years, and I'm still trying to take a good picture. But when I look at photography, it's also another phenomenon of light, is that the best photographers are able to master the light. They can look at light indoors, outdoors. There's all sorts of things. You can talk about that. But when light is controlled, when I'm using a camera, it's controlled by an aperture, a shutter speed, and by whatever the sensitivity of the sensor of the film is. The film latitude or dynamic range of the light is the sensitivity of that film or sensor. The exposure value is a ratio of the shutter speed to the aperture of a given exposure of light. So there's all these tricks we do with cameras and that type of thing to do that. When we talk about the quality of light in photography, we talk about a hard light or a soft light or ambient light. So those are the characteristics we look at when we talk about the light. And a light exposure is determined by the highlights and shadows of a camera setting using film and digital media. So we can talk about the objective terminology we use in light when we're talking about lasers or light in general. It can talk about the subjective ability of light when we look at pictures. So it talks about a large phenomena that we see when we talk about light. All right, here comes the test. Oh, we passed the test. You're good. All right. I never had a doubt. So I find it fascinating when we open the first book of the Bible and we look, and within the first few verses, we see this phenomena of light described. The heavens and earth, we talk about in the beginning where the heavens and the earth. But we come to Genesis 1, verses 3 through 5, and we see that, excuse me, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good. God separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, and that was one day. So I find it interesting that the phenomena of light is one of the first things God ever created. And the reason for that is that there's scientists that have devoted their whole life to understanding quantum mechanics and electrodynamics and those type of things. In so doing, if they can understand the quality of light and what light is and the phenomena of light, even the context of how it interacts with gravity, they can understand everything about the universe. Now, I'm not that smart, but that's what they tell us. So I find it fascinating that God uses light as one of the first things he makes, because in light we can find everything. The next thing I want to talk about is this verse that we usually read at Christmas time. And it's a prophecy from Isaiah 9. Isaiah is about 800 years removed from the birth of Christ. But he talks about the birth of Christ as being a great light. In Isaiah 9:2, it says, the people who walked in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in dark land, the light will shine on them. So it talks about the Savior coming in the context of being a great light and that it dispels the darkness. We also see this, and I'll share this verse several times in just a few moments, when we look at John 1, 1 through 5, the first few verses in John 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to the everlasting light, which was with the Father and manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed, a fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to him, that God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. So this is another verse that we come and talk when we talk about light. I go to the internet and I go to one of my Bible programs and I type in the word light. I come back with over 200 references of the light in the Bible. So there's a lot of references that use the light and the idea of light and that Jesus is a light. And you don't judge a book by its cover, you judge the book by how thick it is. There's a small book that Adrian Rogers wrote years ago. And Adrian Rogers was Donna's pastor when she was in high school in Memphis. But there's a book that Dr. Rogers wrote called Our Family Christmas Treasure. book, he talks about the characteristic of light. And so I wanted to take a few moments just to talk about a few of those characteristics he's listing there. I promise I'm not getting emotional. I've just got allergies. So the first thing he talks about when he talks about the phenomena of light is he talks about the purity of light. And when he talks about the purity of light, he brings this verse up in John 4. And this is a reference that goes back to that Isaiah 9 we talked about earlier. He says, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee's of the Gentiles, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, upon them a light dawned." And finally in verse 17, "From that time Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" If you remember when you read about John the Baptist, what do you say? "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And when Jesus shows up, he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So John is referring to the kingdom of heaven as Jesus Christ himself. So John talks about Jesus being near, and Jesus talks about, "I am here." So this is interesting in that phenomena, as him also relating that back to, there's been a great light shown, a great light to reveal to you who Jesus is and what he does. But when we talk about light and the purity of light, is I could take a glass, I could take this water here, which I need to drink some more of, and I could shine the light through there. I could shine the light from the stage here, and I could put, the light could come through here, and I could put some sand or dirt in there, and the light would shine through that, and the light in front of the bottle and behind the bottle would not be contaminated. It would still be pure. So the light can come in contact with impurities, but it doesn't make it impure. If you have ever had laser surgery, they don't sterilize the laser beam. The laser beam itself is a specific monochromatic beam of light, and it doesn't have to be sterilized. It's pure. So I think this gives us another facet when we talk about the light not only illuminating the area that's in darkness, but it also talks about the light being pure, and the light being is the light cannot be contaminated. Came to us as a light. Jesus interacted with a corrupt world. He talked to the undesirables. He talked to the people that most people don't want to talk about. He came in contact with that, but Jesus was still pure. So I see that the purity of light, when we talk about light being pure, I think Jesus is a perfect example of that. That he did come in contact with the world, but he was not corrupted by it. The other thing I want to talk about is light is constant, or the constant of light. There's a couple of verses we look at light, look at this, and it talks about, when we talk about specifically with light and the phenomena of energy, we're all familiar with the most famous equation, E is equal to mc squared. The C in that equation stands for the speed of light. Speed of light is considered to be a constant. So if you have a scientific calculator, there's a set of numbers in your scientific calculator that you can pull up. You can pull up Planck's constant, the speed of light, the symbol pi. Those are all constant. Those numbers don't change. So in the same way, in the scientific world, when we talk about the speed of light, is that number doesn't change. It's considered to be a constant. And when we look here in Malachi 3:6, the Lord says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed." And also in Hebrews, we're very familiar with this verse. Jesus says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can take great comfort in knowing that the light is constant, but even more so that the Creator is our constant, keeping us as a source of consistency. So not only is the light pure, but it's also constant. We know that it is a standard. So we see that light is pure. We see that it is constant. We also want to talk about another phenomena of light in the context of Jesus, and that we have victory. We have victory in the light. And we're going to look again at those verses in the first chapter of John. We're going to look at a few of those verses here again. In the victory of light, "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father, with the Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is a message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So we see as Jesus Christ coming to us, predicted in Isaiah that there's going to be a great light that comes that dispels the darkness. We see 800 years later that Jesus Christ and the birth of Jesus Christ is a great light has come. We see in the early part of his ministry, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is here. So we see those all as fulfillment of prophecies, but we also see this as light casting out darkness. When I turn on the light, I eliminate all darkness. There's not darkness that cannot overcome the light. If the light exists, there is no darkness. And so we see Jesus as the light of the world. We see light, what does light do? Light illuminates. Light brings judgment. If you don't believe that, kids, if your mother tells you to clean your room up and the sun comes up and it peeks through the blinds, judgment has come to your room. So sometimes light brings judgment. It lets us see the things that they really are. So we see great light or great victory in light. And we see this imagery in Jesus Christ is that he is the light of the world. And the great thing about the light is that darkness cannot exist in the light. Darkness has no power against the light. When the light is present, darkness cannot exist. Light dispels any shadow or hint of darkness. The light drives away any component that itself is not light. The next thing I want to talk about was a vitality. And we are again in John 1, the fourth verse there. In him we have life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus is the light that illuminates all that we see in our spiritual life. It is the sun that Jesus is, the sun that illuminates all that we see in our spiritual life. It is the sun that illuminates our day. We see this process for you biologists. I live with a biologist, so I have to mention this. What do you learn in earth science? The process of the light hits the plant, and if you water the plant, fertilize the plant, take care of the plant, it's supposed to grow. It doesn't always happen that way at my house. That process is called photosynthesis. So we see even in the light, even from the light from the sun that exists and causes that plant to grow, we see that there is life within the light. That's the vitality of the light. C.S. Lewis had a quote that I think is pertinent here. He wrote, says, I believe in Christianity as I believe in that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, because by it I see everything else. And that's what we see with the light of Christ. That's what we see with the light is that it brings life. And that's what we see with light is that we see everything else. Thank you, dear, for the peppermint. I can talk a little bit better now. And let's take a look at John again. That first chapter of John, we're going to look at verse 14, going to go down just a little bit there. I want to talk about the glory of the light, is that the light is glorious. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So we see Jesus as the glory of the light. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus is the object of our faith. We have been forgiven much. We come before Christ, and as we understand the gospel of who Jesus is and what he's done for us, as we stand guilty before him because we are not the light. It does talk a little bit about in Matthew about that we are the light of the world, but we're the light in the sense that the moon is light. The moon doesn't necessarily emanate light, but the moon is a reflection of the light. And so we are a reflection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But before we come in relationship with Christ, we are in darkness. And we're going to read a verse in 1 Peter, I think. If I can remember the reference, we'll read it. It talks about we come out of the darkness into the marvelous light. But we see that Jesus is the glory of light. So we become before Christ as guilty because of our sin, because we're born in sin. And we're separated from God. And we understand what the gospel is and what Jesus Christ has done for us is that he paid a price he did not owe. He became a substitutionary sacrifice for us, is that we can live a life of gratitude once we understand that grace. So we stand guilty before God. We understand the gospel and his grace. We come to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then we can enter into his glory one day. But we live a life of gratitude because of who Jesus Christ is. God's glory is demonstrated in the light. The intensity of the sun with all its brilliance with light can get through the smallest crack. To all that is exposed to the light, all is revealed. There is no secret in the light. Even in the dark of night, the reflection of the moon is a demonstration of God's glory. When the moon is full and the sky is clear and my eyes are adjusted, I can see the world around me with a reflected moon. In the book of Matthew, we can call the light of the world. While we are not the source of the light, we certainly are the reflection of it. God's glory is revealed in the sun and the moon, and in it his light. We can see his glory, the reflection of the work of Jesus Christ when God calls us. The word of became flesh and dwelt among us. I'm going to read this verse from John 8:12. It says, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but walk in the light of life." So we do have hope in Jesus Christ. We talked about light as it's being pure. We talked about the constancy of light. We talked about the vitality of light. And we talked about the glory of light. I will always find it fascinating about the context of how we use light in the scriptures, how Jesus is the light, how in a scientific world, as we're still trying to understand this phenomena of light, of what it is, how it interacts with our world, how it interacts with our world on the outside, how the light's built on the inside. And I think it's one of those mysteries that God has given us to demonstrate that he's here and he's complex and the world around us is complex. The more we study, the less we know. And it talks about in Romans 1, it talks about there's no excuse to not believe in God because he's revealed himself. He's revealed himself in the glory and revealed himself in nature to demonstrate that there is a God and that he cares about us and that he loves us.